If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
I think the night would be a big disappointment if we didn't thank our co-writer who passed away, Mr. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion. He couldn't be here tonight, but you did it, Joseph. You got the Tony.
I'm someone who believes that you approach issues using faith and reason. And if your faith is pure and your reason is right, they'll end up in the same place.
It's very hard to avoid giving youth the impression that if their pastor is the junior varsity shepherd, that they aren't somehow the junior varsity sheep.
Hi, this is Derek from Seward, Nebraska. When I hiked in the Marin County Headlands and overlooked the Golden Gate Bridge, I was listening to Issues Etc.
It's an interesting story because officially the United Methodist Church does not permit same-sex unions. It does, under certain circumstances, permit homosexuals to serve as clergy as long, according to their church law, as long as they remain celibate. Well, the story is of a lesbian minister who is allegedly a practicing homosexual. That's a big difference here. Is convicted by a church court in the United Methodist Church for performing a same-sex union ceremony. There are several issues at play here. We're going to deal with that issue as we talk with Mark Tooley here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Thursday, June the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Colleen Carol Campbell will be our guest. We'll talk about a new prenatal test for Down syndrome that is both good and bad news. And then we'll spend the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University, talking Christianity and politics. Even as our voting opportunities multiply toward the presidential season, we're always citizens, though. How are we citizens and Christians at the same time? Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Mark Tooley is a regular guest, a president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., and author of the book, Taking Back the United Methodist Church. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, always good to be with you.
Those who were defending the minister in question her name, the Reverend Amy DeLong, the Reverend Scott Campbell being her legal counsel in a church law sense, compared this trial to the Salem witch trials of the 17th century. He said, just as history has judged slavery and the exclusion of women from ordained ministry, history will judge the church in this instance too. What's your response to that comparison?
Well, very silly and very disingenuous. No one pursued or exposed this lesbian minister. She announced herself and announced her having conducted a same-sex union and essentially invited a trial for herself as a means for advancing that political cause.
So what exactly did she do?
Well, she is a ordained United Methodist minister, although she does not work for a pastor, a church. She works for a liberal advocacy group. So I think that she probably came forward because even if she were defrocked, she still has her job. So it wasn't a whole lot of threat to her livelihood. But she is publicly declared that she is a lesbian and living with her female companion, and they have together registered as for a civil union in the state of Wisconsin. And she also celebrated the marriage or union of two women wedding-like ceremony. And, of course, that violates United Methodist Church law, which, as you mentioned, forbids churches or clergy from celebrating same-sex unions, and which expects all clergy to be monogamous if married and celibate if single.
Is this, I mean, I got to wonder, honestly, Mark, if this is just kind of an unworkable halfway house between denominations, mainline denominations, that still forbid homosexuals in the clergy, and those who have gone the other way and said, not only should we have homosexual clergies, we should have same-sex unions, three of them to date, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Episcopal Church USA, and the United Church of Christ, all have gone that other direction. The United Methodist Church seems to be standing at some kind of a compromised threshold here. Do you agree?
Well, the official stance of the church is still biblical. The problem is that, of course, liberal regions of the church in the upper Northwest and the West Coast in New England are at least their clergy and elites are in disagreement with that policy and want to work around the edges to undermine it or to pretend like it's a don't ask, don't tell type policy. And so they also realize that with time, demographics are against them because their churches are losing members and the conservative churches are growing in the U.S. and overseas. So basically, the only way they can advance their cause is to create the impression of widespread disobedience, which would, in effect, declare the law unenforceable.
Is this the first time someone has been so bold as to test church law in this way?
Oh, no, this is a long-time tradition. Essentially, every time we have a general conference, which is our governing convention every 4 years, almost always about a year before that convention, we have this kind of case involving a trial. It's almost always a lesbian minister. We haven't had any male homosexual clergy come forward. So this has been going on for the last 15, 16 years.
What do you think the goal here? I mean, obviously, there's some political goals here within the United Methodist Church. What do you think the goal is eventually? You said to treat it like don't ask, don't tell. Are there broader goals, you suspect, at work here?
Well, obviously, the same activists we're working within the churches are working in American society at large and wanting to mandate the mainstreaming of same-sex marriage and of not just homosexuality, but a whole range of alternative sexualities, and to stigmatize everyone who disagrees with that movement as bigoted and persons who perhaps legally have the right to speak out, but who really aren't accepted in polite society. And so it's the same battle, whether it's in the church or outside the church.
What we often saw in other mainline denominations that have walked this path before is a theological divide between the leadership, the elected, sometimes appointed leadership of the church, and the average pastor or priest in the pulpit or person in the pew. Does a similar divide exist in the United Methodist Church?
Well, of course, very much so. The higher up the ladder you go, the more liberal they are. So the clergy are more liberal than the laity, and the bishops are more liberal than the clergy. And, of course, the seminary professors are the most liberal of all in general. And the movement for same-sex marriage and so forth is a movement of the elite. It's not sweeping up from the grassroots, of course.
Has there been an incremental movement toward it in church law in the United Methodist Church?
No, essentially, church law has remained the same since 1972, and in fact has continuously been strengthened over the years because of the various challenges and attempts to evade it. And essentially, the Methodists are different from the Presbyterian Church USA and the Episcopal Church and the United Church of Christ and the Evangelical Lutheran Church because we still have a large body of evangelical subculture in the church, especially in the South. But even more importantly, our membership is international with about 40% currently living overseas, mostly in Africa, soon to be a majority. And with that large African component, it becomes almost impossible, at least in terms of democratic governance, to overthrow church law.
So with this decision, are there a system of appeals? What becomes of the Reverend Amy DeLong?
Well, we are awaiting the jury's decision on what her sentence should be for having conducted a same-sex union. She could get a little slap on the wrist or a suspension from ordained ministry for 24 hours, or she could be completely defrocked or something in between. Either way, she could appeal, and the church's council could appeal.
There are a number of states, and it would appear with decisions being taken in New York State, a growing number of states that will legally permit same-sex unions or gay marriage. Is that going to present a problem to the United Methodist Church?
It shouldn't if the church behaves as the church and upholds its own biblical standards. But obviously, those who are activists on this cause will have been actively arguing that, of course, if you're in a state that honors same-sex marriage, and of course the clergy must be permitted to participate in that.
What kind of a defense, if any, did Amy DeLong or others who have tested church law in the United Methodist Church, what kind of defense have they offered for their actions?
Essentially they invite jury nullification by declaring that church law is unjust and at odds with the spirit of the gospel and equivalent to racial segregation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In this particular case, she somewhat lost her nerve, seemingly, because she had publicly declared that she was a self-avowed practicing homosexual, but then, when called to testify during the trial, was asked specifically if she was sexually active with her female companion, and she declined to answer the question, which allowed the jury to not convict her on that charge, but she obviously could not dispute that she had celebrated a same-sex marriage, and so the jury was unanimous in convicting her on that.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark's also authored the book, Taking Back the United Methodist Church. Mark, thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
When we come back, we'll spend some time with Colleen Carroll Campbell. There is a new, very early, very simple, and apparently very inexpensive test that can be taken of a pregnant mother to determine whether or not her unborn child has Down syndrome, in addition to a bunch of other conditions and circumstances. Is this good news? Is it bad news when you consider the fact that 92% of preborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted? We'll talk about that with Colleen Carroll Campbell on the other side of the break. Then we'll talk Christianity and politics a little bit later with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University. How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal. journal@issuesetc.org.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Are you uncomfortable with making an online credit card donation? Well, here's an option for you. Call me at 618-223-8382, and I'll personally take your credit card donation and process it for you. Hi, this is Craig Feidinger of Lutheran Public Radio. Call me today, 618-223-8382, and make a secure credit card donation to help support Issues, etc. 618-223-8382.